Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, always appreciate our weekly visits with you. Just looking at how the Tennessee Titans have been constructed so far, of course, we still have post-June 1st cuts. Of course, we've got a wave of players that'll hit the waiver wire that the Tennessee Titans can supplement this team. But just looking at how it's constructed now, looking at Mike Clay's breakdown and rankings of all the wide receiver cores in the NFL, the Tennessee Titans coming in dead last, how successful do you think a team can be in this NFL, especially in this AFC, with playing really good defense and running the ball?
You're not a playoff team. So I got how successful. Okay. I mean, best case scenario, you're roughly a 500 team and, you know, hope for some good fortune to make the postseason. I think in general, you know, to have a roster where you think, look, where we can't compete. We can't necessarily go, you know, score for score. We're going to play great defense. We're going to run the football. You know, we're going to try not to turn it over. You know, while you can win football games that way, when you look at the landscape of the AFC, I think it's just, you know, to say like, hey, we're going to do that when, look, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, like when Justin Herbert, like when that, those are the quarterbacks in your conference that are supported by good, you know, wide receiver groups. I think it's nearly impossible to think you're going to have that kind of success.
And with that in mind, what do you think is a fair expectation for the Titans, at least as currently constructed? Of course, things can change, but what do you think is a fair expectation for this team?
Well, I mean, listen, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, what typically happens in a season, which is, you know, hey, are guys healthy? Are they playing well? What's happening to other teams? Because we know that every year there are injuries. We know that every year, like, you know, somebody doesn't play as well as they did the year before and somebody has a great year. So I would say this. I would think that every team in the AFC South right now feels like, look, we can compete to win our division. I would think that they all feel that way. So, look, the Jaguars are going to feel like they should be the favorite, and they will be, and they will be the team to beat. You know, Houston obviously has a lot of excitement, but it's a young quarterback. Same situation with the Indianapolis Colts. And I think if you're the Titans, you'd say, hey, these two other teams in our division, look, they're probably starting rookie quarterbacks. You know, one of them with very little starting quarterback experience, even at the college level. Like, we have a quarterback that's proved that he can play at a high level, and we feel good about, you know, what we've built here. And so, look, maybe you know, find a way to kind of edge out Jacksonville, and we can be the representative in the AFC South. I mean, I think that it's realistic to feel that way. It's realistic to think that you can accomplish that. And so, look, I guess to answer your question directly, so what does that mean? Is that when you win your division at, you know, with 9 wins, do you have to get to 10 wins and maybe you make it in that way? Yeah, I think that could happen.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, looking at this, the AFC, because I think if you want to look at the NFC, I think there are still more holes at the quarterback positions in the NFC than there is the AFC. I think the AFC, there may be 3 teams right now that probably don't feel as if they have their franchise quarterback. But It seems like this is sort of the new NFL now, whereas everybody hoped and was trying to get a franchise quarterback, say, 5-10 years ago. And you look at the teams now, just about everybody in their mind believes they have a franchise quarterback in the AFC. How do you, if everything works out, say all these guys are, they have their success, how does the AFC look in, say, another 2 years in your mind? Because now it's no longer, well, we don't have a quarterback. Now it has to be something else that separates, you know, team A from team B and C, because now we all have our quarterbacks. But what is that one thing that you believe separates them other than that quarterback, or eventually will separate them?
Yeah, so I think this. I think defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know you guys experience it because everyone that's in the media experiences it. We just tend to focus so much more on offense. I mean, we naturally do. It's more exciting. It's, you know, we're talking about quarterbacks and receivers and scoring points and all of that. But I guess I would just say it for this reason. You know, the Rams win a Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford led the league in interceptions that year, I believe. So what was the difference? Well, the difference was the defense was a championship caliber defense. You could say a similar thing about, you know, what you saw from Tampa. Like that year Brady was there, that first year, they weren't great at the beginning of the year offensively. Now, obviously, he's an amazing quarterback and all that, but it was the defense because you get to the Super Bowl. And what was the difference? It was Patrick Mahomes was running around, that depleted offensive line, and it was the defense. So I would say what's going to separate all these great quarterbacks, you know, from each other, and which guy's having success and which guy's not, would be what does their team look like on the defensive side of the ball? And closely behind that is going to be, well, how good are they up front on the offensive line? And so I think those are the thing. I mean, just look at, look at Philadelphia this year. It was, you know, it was really a very good defense and an incredible offensive line. So I think those are the things that are going to, when we look up and we're like, hey, why has Burrow had success? Why has Wilson fallen off the map? How come Trevor hasn't gotten it done? Or Justin Herbert, why is he taking that next step? I think a lot of it is going to have to do with everybody but them.
Yeah, and I can see that happening because I look at Josh Allen, and I know many people consider him a elite quarterback. I think he's mm-hmm. a really good quarterback because he still makes too many mistakes, I believe, at crucial times in a game. And it's like, dude, why are you still making these mistakes? Mm-hmm. You're 4 or 5 years now in the league. But it's going to have to be, you know, that defense that separates, you know, team A from team B and C. Because right now, as we look, I mean, you could take just about any one of these quarterbacks and put them on just about any team when you're talking about franchise quarterbacks, and they're going to win. But, you know, winning a championship and winning a lot of games is different. You know, you said it. Tampa wasn't great in the regular season, but during the playoffs, that defense was lights out. And you had you have the best quarterback ever to you know, get underneath center, guiding your team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listen, I think that, some of the conversations we've had, just go back to last year, even with the Kansas City Chiefs, we were saying, all right, well, like, are they going to be good enough? I mean, the big question, you know, I'm sure people were talking a lot about Tyreek Hill and stuff, but it was more, right, what do they look like on defense? Like, are you going to be able to stop anyone? And I'll say this about, you know, Buffalo. Look, they've been so one-dimensional on offense that's part of the issue. Like, can you run the ball some? I mean, because you do need to have, you know, some type of balance, some situational ability to run the football. Otherwise, it comes back to get you. And, you know, not so much, you know, this year in the postseason, but the previous 2 years in the postseason, you know, that's been something that's really hurt them.
More with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're talking with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck now.
All right, Tim, first of all, I feel like you're doing a great job for us. You're not showing any fatigue. We saw you on SportsCenter just before you came on with us, so you got good stamina. You're giving us good minutes here.
Did you like the little argument with Teddy Bruschi about who had the better background? And
I saw him turning around. We couldn't hear what you were saying. We were on the air, but I saw him doing that.
There was a discrepancy over who had the better background because I've copied Teddy with, like, the backlighting on the background. And he was claiming that he had a better background than me. But he actually has a picture of my brother on his background, and I have no picture of my own brother on my back. So, I have too many other good things to have on my shelf, so which means by default I have to be the winner.
Matthew did not make the cut. He's got to have issues with that.
Did not make the cut, but I think is. You guys have heard me talk about him before. That's par for our course with me. And I have a sledgehammer on my shelves. D. Mace, I think, knows about this. That was from the little youth football team that I coached years back.
Mm-hmm.
These kids signed it. So, that right there, the fact that I've got a local youth football team with their signatures on a sledgehammer on my shelf, I just feel like I should get the win right there.
Yeah, that's a special conversation piece. Yeah. That's a good conversation piece. Hey, tell me about the sledgehammer. That's a good at parties, social gatherings. That gets a good conversation going. The other thing that I wanted to see too was the Clinton Portis aquarium. Any artifacts from that? That's one of my favorite stories that you've told. But Clinton Portis bought the biggest aquarium for his home that you've ever heard of.
Hey, I mean, we can question the use of those funds.
Yes.
The saltwater tank in the house. That's a high upkeep there. Upkeep for sure.
I mean, listen, when the filtration system takes up one bay of your garage, that's usually not a good indication for
that's tough.
So Tim, I want to ask you this. I read a really interesting discussion on The Athletic, and it was up and coming, just looking at how the quarterbacks get evaluated now. We just went through months of just picking apart everything about Will Levis and all these other guys. The question came up, if you're an up-and-coming five-star recruit and you can pick where you're going to go, knowing how you got NIL now, you've got teams that are perennially in the national championship picture, but they probably have a lot of different quarterbacks that you're competing with. How you would prioritize, development if you someday dream about playing in the NFL? How if you were advising a guy that's got all those tools, he can probably go a lot of different places, how would you advise him to prioritize those things?
Well, listen, this is an actual example of conversation that I have had recently with a number of dads of kids that are either now in college or soon to be in college about, okay, what do I do? I've had this conversation with a number of them, and some guys have gone to play in the SEC. Some guys have gone to play in other conferences. Some guys will have the opportunity to go play in a bunch of different Power Five conferences. And my advice is this, because I think it has changed a lot. And I think you bring up a great point about, it probably used to be, hey, you're a kid that's playing quarterback and maybe Steve Spurrier and the Florida Gators come calling and you're going to go there because that kid's going to put up a bunch of numbers. You get a chance to play in the NFL or Notre Dame or whoever the school might be. And I think now what you have to really consider are a couple factors. One, what is your path to play? What does it look like once you step on campus and the clock is turning? What is your path to get on the field? And so a lot of that has to do with the guys in front of you. But then also, are you a guy that you're going to be there? You're going to, a kid a little older than you is going to play. And then as soon as he leaves, here comes somebody from the transfer portal that the school is given NIL money to, or the program is getting NIL money for, and now all of a sudden he just jumps you, whether he's a better player than you or not. I think you've got to be very careful about those types of scenarios. I mean, I brought up Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a good example of that. Tyler Buckner's probably sitting there thinking, look, I'm going to have a shot to play and be the Notre Dame starting quarterback, and next thing you know, here comes Sam Hartman from Wake Forest. So I think that all that stuff matters. Now, the elite of the elite, Cade Klubnik's going to go to, go to Clemson. He has a great career, probably find himself being a high draft pick. But, or Drake May, for that matter, at North Carolina. But, take the Klubnik example, DJ Uiagalelei thought that would be him. And the minute, you have a couple bad games, They're looking for the guy to replace you, and that isn't the case at every program.
Another question that came up in this discussion was the offensive system. Does a system like a Baylor or a Tennessee with the spread inhibit a quarterback's development trying to become a, quote, pro quarterback?
Yeah, I think there was a period in time where it really did, because you would look at it and say, man, there's a lot of a lot of throws right at the line of scrimmage. And there's a lot of throws that, like, or when I watch you play, it's hard for me to figure out, you know, does this translate to the National Football League? I think the more and more we continue to see Saturday offenses on Sunday, that's not as big of a factor. It just isn't. And so, you know, the days of saying, hey, we got to see this guy. I remember it happened with Sam Bradford. Like, well, we never saw him playing under center at Oklahoma. Like, how does that translate? I think people are less and less worried about that, and we've seen people kind of navigate that successfully. I mean, Justin Herbert's a good example. It was an offense that you could see very little carryover between Saturday to Sunday, but, you know, he proved that he's just a good enough, talented enough athlete who's willing to work on it, that that's not a problem.
Now, do you, Tim, and I'm listening to you answer this, and the question Willie asked about the quarterbacks, and in my mind, I'm just thinking, like, man, you know, that just sounds like, you know, these individuals, these young men, it just gets harder and harder for them. You know, like when we were coming out of high school, you know, it was hard, but, you know, it's not like there wasn't a lot of competition, but it was like, okay, this is the school we want to go to. They're giving us a scholarship. We're going to go there. And we're going to, you know, grind it out for a year, maybe 2 years, and then ultimately get into a position where we can now display our talent. It's like it's like now it's so hard because every year it's free agency. And I'm not talking free agency with kids coming out of high school. I'm talking about free agency with all these kids in a portal. And, you know, some kids get left in a portal. And it just seems like it's gotten so much harder for these young men to, you know, one, get into college and stay there. And then once they transfer or try to transfer somewhere else, now they got to try to fit into whatever, you know, situation they're going into.
Yeah. And listen, and change and transferring and learning a new offense, that's just hard. Look, I'd say this, take Bo Nix as a good example. Okay. Bo Nix probably grew up wanting to play at Auburn because of where he grew up and his father's history at the school. Well, he goes and he plays early. He's a super talented kid. He goes and plays early. Has a couple bad games, a couple bad decisions, turning to bad turnovers, and he gets run out of town. He's not playing at Oregon. Now, listen, the NFL draft's going to come around, and Bo Nix, because he was able to find a home, you know, find a landing spot to go play, like, Bo Nix is going to hear his name called fairly early. But, like, think of this scenario where Bo Nix, you know, ended up really and had to leave the program that he grew up and was good enough to play at. That's, I mean, look, I'll give you another one so the listeners can, you know, be someone that they're aware of. Hendon Hooker, I've said this to you guys. I called his games at Virginia Tech. He came out of training camp, his last year at Virginia Tech, he came out of training camp and they had already decided that he was going to split time. You know, so, you know, it because they had a transfer that they really liked, they liked the skill set. And so, yeah, there's going to become a time where going to a smaller school, a school, academically is one that it's difficult to transfer into, is going to start to benefit, you know, some of these young quarterbacks.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. On the subject of SEC quarterbacks, Hendon Hooker, formerly Bo Nix at Auburn, looking at Anthony Richardson, And, you know, throughout the entire draft process, all the talk that we have heard and just watching Anthony Richardson myself, it was, you know, he's not quite ready yet. He's only started in 13 games. He's not ready yet, but the potential is just, you know, off the charts. That's exactly why he was a top five pick. And then Jim Irsay comes out and says that he wants Anthony Richardson to start at some point this season. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that? And do you think that's really, just from your evaluation of Anthony Richardson, the best thing for him and the best thing for the Indianapolis Colts?
I do think it's the best thing for him to play, because I think he needs to play. And I experienced it as a player where it's really hard to get better when you're not playing. And so my 2 years at the New York Giants with Eli Manning as a starter, he was a young player that you know, they wanted him to get as many snaps as possible. I played 7 snaps in the regular season in 2 years. It's hard. It's hard to get better when you're not playing. And so, you know, I just think that's how you get better. And, you know, this notion of, hey, we don't want to ruin a guy's confidence, we don't want to do that. While I understand the conversation, a lot of people want to point to David Carr and say, like, hey, he got ruined because he got hit so many times, and, you know, they should have rested, you know, or they should have sat him early. Like, I don't subscribe to that, because I think this, if you are going to be drafted in the first round and you're going to play the quarterback position, like, I got news for you. You're going to face adversity, plain and simple. Like, that's how it works. And if you can't handle the adversity, then you shouldn't be, you're not the guy anyway. And so I just think you need to play. And I get that, you know, people will say, hey, Patrick Mahomes didn't play his first year. Well, he did start a game his first year. He did play a lot of football in college, and he was really well coached throughout that entire process. So, you know, that to me, you know, that's more the outlier than the scenario where, like, look at Trey Lance. Like, Trey Lance has played almost no football. Like, it just, between, you know, a COVID year, 1 year as a starter in college, playing one game during the COVID season, because of injury, not playing games. Like, I don't know how you get better if you're not playing. And look, you can apply that principle to a lot of different things. I mean, everything from, you know, hosting a radio show to being a kid, getting at bats to, I mean, like, you name it. Like, you need to do it to improve at it. And I think that because of that, I would play Anthony Richardson.
Very interesting perspective. Thank you, Tim Hasselbeck. Appreciate you as always. We'll chat with you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Tim. Very interesting perspective from Tim Hasselbeck, mm-hmm. because we do hear the don't rush the young guy. You don't want to ruin him. So how do we approach, you know, with that philosophy, how do we approach that with Will Levis and how the Tennessee Titans will proceed with Will Levis? Let's get into that coming up next. And your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.